Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Subscribe on iTunes at Toddcast Podcast.
How you doing, buddy?
Cool. Good. How are you? You can hear me all right?
Yeah, I can hear you great. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this, hanging out here in Vancouver, Canada on the Toddcast. I mean, I guess the obvious thing to start with is, how's your camp with COVID and everything? Obviously, you guys are doing fine if you're about to release a new Offspring record.
Yeah, well, we kept a COVID-safe studio happening all of this year, and did a lot of rehearsing and work in there, and luckily kept busy getting this new record ready. So yeah. Everyone's doing good. I never caught the dreaded coronavirus. Tested all the time, thanks to, you know, a lot of the music situations here in LA. It's just standard. They have a COVID compliance. So
right.
When we're doing videos or rehearsing or photo shoots or whatever, everyone gets tested. So
have you ever known anybody to have caught it?
I know a couple of people that caught it. Luckily the people that I know didn't really have any harsh
issues.
Issues, but it's still scary, you know. It's like,
oh, it's scary. Like, yeah.
And and the whole debate, like, where people, I think the thing that confused and bothered me the most was that people who weren't scientists and doctors were so sure of their opinion, right? Yeah. And I'm just like, I'm a musician, so I don't know. I'm scared. You know, yeah. I'm a hypochondriac a little bit to begin with, so
right.
Yeah, and
chucking something that's killing people, and
I didn't have a strong opinion one way or the other. I just was like, I'm gonna keep my mom safe, who's older,
right,
and my kids safe.
Yeah, same way. So what's that like recording during a pandemic? Like, how did that differ than, you know, the last record?
Well, you know, full disclosure, the bass on the new Offspring record was already recorded before I came to bass player. So, so I was really just learning to play
the parts.
It.
Okay.
Yeah, the parts. Yeah. But I mean, you know, I'm really stoked on this record. It's, you know, when I play these songs, I don't know how much I can really give away, but when I play these songs, and all of us, we talk about, we can visualize like the crowd going off to them live, which is, to me, that's always been, you know, especially coming up playing in punk rock with H2O and stuff, like,
right.
our only question was ever like, is the crowd going to go off to this? You know, it's always about the live show.
Well, it has to be about the live show. Otherwise, what's the point,
yeah.
right? Like that, you're not a band to make an album and be in studio. You're there to fucking, you know, reach somebody on that different level at a live know, event, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
totally. I'm curious, Todd, what's the music in the Morse house as a kid growing up then? Like, is it right out of the gate that you're kind of, you know, thrown into that world?
No. I mean, my mom was like into like, you know, Neil Diamond and, you know, and classic rock. And I remember one Christmas she bought me a Kiss 45.
Nice.
I think
like Love Gun or something. Like that.
Shouted Out Loud or and AC/DC and, you know, I really grew up on like classic songwriting, you know, which I think sticks with me now when I go to do my own stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point when I was in school, I really didn't feel like I fit in with any type of group. Like all the long haired dudes that were listening to Zeppelin and Rush and stuff. Like, I don't know. I wasn't cool enough for them and whatever else was going on. And some kid, this is really going to date how old I am, but some kid gave me an 8-track with a Circle Jerks Group Sex on one side and Sex Pistols Nevermind the Bollocks on the other side.
Like, bing, that opens up your eyes.
I was like, wait, I can play that. I can do that. And then it led to the Ramones. It come full circle. I just did a live stream with Juliet and the Licks, which is my band with Juliet Lewis.
Right.
And we were rehearsing over here in the Valley, and we came out to take a break, and we heard a band rehearsing in the next thing. And I was like, oh man, that sounds amazing. I was like, who is that? And they're like, that's the Circle Jerks.
No way. So nice.
Like my first ever punk I ever heard.
Yeah.
We're just standing outside, like rocking out, listening to them rehearse. It's a weird world I live in.
That's pretty crazy. What was the first show that you saw? What was your first concert?
Black Flag. Oh, wow. And I've talked about this a couple of times too, because there's some people there, but there's a place called The Channel in Boston. It was with Henry Rollins singing. And I'll never forget, because the band started, and it was punk rock and hardcore like was really dangerous back then. I mean, like you could really get hurt at a show.
Totally.
I mean, and so I was scared, but I was like, Where's Henry? And he came crawling out from behind the drum set, you know, no shirt on. Nice. Like an animal, you know. And I was like, I'm in. This is
And how old were you for that? Like you were like teenager or
I was a teenager. We rented a U-Haul. I was living in Rhode Island. We rented a U-Haul and put chairs in the back of it, and all of us sat in chairs and rode up to the show.
Yeah.
And when we got to the parking lot of the Channel, we rolled the thing up, and all the kids had gathered around thinking we were the band.
Nice.
You don't forget that stuff.
No, of course not. That's what's shaping you where you are today. So the new Offspring is out on April 16.
Yeah.
It's called Let the Bad Times Roll.
That's right.
Do you think that this is going to, I mean, not that it's tough to foreshadow this, but like, do you think that this is going to be, you know, not 10 years between, 8 years between albums? Like, do you think that maybe there's going to be a new Offspring record every couple of years? Like, what's that talking?
That's completely out of my hands because you know, Dexter writes a song but I do know there's an excess of songs that were written for this that are already going towards another one. So I think that's a good sign that there'll be some other stuff.
Yeah. What's Bob Rock like to hang out with? He seems like a pretty cool guy.
He's great. He's like a music encyclopedia, that guy. And he's got a great ear for, you know, he can tell you, you know, you can listen to an AC/DC record and he'll tell you exactly what amplifier and what guitar was being used.
Crazy, right?
You know,
like those, like there's music geeks like that everywhere, man. Like in Vancouver, you know, if you talk with Garth Richardson or like Mike Fraser and all those guys, like they're the same fucking style, man. They're all just like, they totally are geeked out about it and it's great, right?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you have satellite radio, but I'm kind of like a amateur music trivia buff myself. Like there's a great channel on Sirius XM called Volume. I don't know if you're familiar with this. But that is just the nerd out rock channel where it's just talk about music all the time. You know,
I love that
and
stuff,
you can learn about the record and how it was made and this guy Eddie Trunk. I don't know if
I know Eddie Trunk. Yeah, Eddie I don't know Trunk. Him personally, but yeah, I know yeah. what you're talking about. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And I think that's one of like they're just musicologists.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
yeah.
I think that's one of the things, Todd. That I don't know how old are you? I'm 47.
I am at level 54 right now.
You're at level 54. Okay, so you got me by a few years. You're like the level above my brother's 50. So you're like the next level above my brother.
I just started saying level instead of.
I love level. It. You've made it at the level 54. I love it.
I made it to level 54.
Nice. That's
I'm
a big
a gamer.
Level. But I think that's one of the things that's missing from today's music, and I think that's why it's so like disposable. Is that, you know, there's no more like sitting on the floor in front of the, you know, the record player and reading the liner notes and like reading the lyrics and all, like that doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons.
That's another thing that this guy, Bob Left, I always pronounce his name wrong, but that I was listening to on Volume and also Eddie Trunk was talking about how, you know, you like the song, you had to go buy the record if you wanted to hear the rest. And so people had to make great records or else you weren't going to buy another one, and that was it. You wouldn't hear the band's next record because the package and everything was part of it, and it was really special. And it's hard to it's hard to gauge if anyone in the new generation is really missing out on that. It's really hard to gauge because it's just, it's from a time, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I do think that, that rock and roll music and guitar based music was cooler when you had to search for it, you know?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like you felt cooler about finding it when it wasn't so accessible, you know?
Right.
But at the same time, you know, this whole thing about rock is dead or whatever. I mean, rock is not dead. When there's when they say that, they're talking about the mainstream. They're talking about the Billboard charts and everything. But I'll tell you what, if DJs just started playing more rock, rock would be mainstream again. Because that's people learn about music through repetition of hearing it all the time. Mm-hmm. It's what they're feeding us. It's not because we go out and play. I go out and play with all these bands all over the world, and there's fans everywhere for guitar music. You know,
Yeah, that's not going
they're still away. There.
No, it's not going away.
It's not going away.
No,
just like I think radio stations are just scared to take a chance now because they're just so locked into the advertising and and the whole thing. But I mean, if every station across the country started playing the new Offspring single like five times a day, it would be a hit. It's a hit song, you know.
Right.
It's like, but no one does it anymore. It's I don't know.
Yeah, it's a weird.
Does it need to be mainstream? You know, then there's the question of like, does it even need to be mainstream? I mean, the Offspring has fans all over the world already. You know,
probably not. Yeah. And how did you get into the band then? So how did that, like, was it just a call from one of the guys or like what happened there?
So I went from H2O, and I was still kind of overlapped H2O. I was playing with Juliet Lewis and the Licks for 5 years, and we toured like crazy all over the world and put out two records, and then that kind of crumbled. And as that crumbled, I took the guys that were in that band, the Licks, and we started this cover band called Petty Cash, and we had a residency in Hollywood. We would do Tom Petty and Johnny Cash covers. Nice. We're opening for Steel Panther for a while.
Oh, great.
About Steel Panther, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're fun guys.
Which is also how I met my wife. But what was my point? Oh, so during that time, the Offspring had a utility back guy, guitar player, singer that they got rid of. And their production guy came to see Petty Cash and I guess had a light bulb, heard me singing because they needed someone to sing a lot of backing vocals and asked me to audition. And
wow.
I mean, I still had to go up against like 40 dudes.
Wow.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I just, at the time I really needed it. So I worked really hard to, auditioning is terrible and hard.
You know? Yeah. That's nerve wracking.
I just wanted to do good at the audition and I guess I made it through. And yeah. So then I played guitar for 10, almost 11 years, background guitar. And then when the bass player left, they were like, hey, you want to play bass? And so now I'm the bass player for like a year now.
Nice. Yeah. And now it's just a matter of being able to tour that new album, which of course is coming soon.
Yeah.
We see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's there.
Yeah. There's a bunch of records coming out, man.
Yeah.
I think it's... Yeah, actually, I was just looking at right before I got on you. I looked on the website to see if our June European dates are still there, and they are.
Oh, nice. So, yeah, I'm seeing some more and more like, the safety self quarantine shows like Corey Taylor, just, Slipknot and Stone Sour.
Yeah, he's great.
He just released like a, not a news, whatever. He just said that he's going to work on the 3-week tour where it's like, you need to prove that you've had the vaccine and all that kind of shit. But I mean, eventually it'll come around to some sort of normal eventually.
Yeah. I like that green card idea thing where they give you the card on your phone that you just show when you go to the airport or whatever that says you got vaccinated.
Yeah.
How's the vaccines going up there? Are you vaccinated or?
I'm not. No, not yet. I mean, I think I'm probably like one of the last people to get it. Right. I'm relatively healthy, 40 year old guy. Right. But they're saying that we'll have the BC will have everybody vaccinated by July. I think they said, which is pretty good. You know.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it'll be fast. I mean, we'll get there. We have like summer plans and all that. It's all set in stone, and you know we'll try to keep on as normal as possible. You know.
Yeah. Excuse me 1 second.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is my daughter, True.
Hi, True. Hi. That's cute.
Do you have something to ask me? Because I'm doing a podcast here. Huh?
Have you seen an eraser?
An eraser? I really hid mine. Why don't you look in your basket, babe? Can you shut my door? Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Canada, by the way.
Yeah, so good, right? I mean...
Some of my best times, some of my best friends are the Sum 41 guys, and
oh, great.
And I did a couple of records, me and Cone, the bass player, and we traveled and did like a promo tour there together, and just, I don't know, I've just had, and every time I play a show up there, just fans really, they've never stopped appreciating guitar music there.
Yeah.
You said you're in Vancouver?
Vancouver, yeah. Yeah, I've been here for most of my life. Yeah, I love it here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get outside of music, Todd, and what you're known for. What have you been binging over the pandemic? Like, what are the shows you just can't get enough of? Because, of course, we're all doing it right now.
Yeah. Well, I just finished Your Honor, the Bryan Cranston thing.
Okay.
I haven't seen that yet. I'm a huge Breaking Bad guy, so I also watched Aaron Paul had one, Truth Be Told, which is another cool one.
Yeah. Did you get into what was the other one? Better Call Saul?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, I love Better Call Saul.
Pretty good. Yeah, it's pretty solid.
It's really starting to go into Breaking Bad now. Well, I heard that they've really got stalled on production of the next few episodes, but I love Peaky Blinders. I'm waiting for that to come back.
Yeah.
What else do we get into?
Did you get into the WandaVision? Are you a fan of comic books and all that? Like, how good was that? Because that was like the first episode. I was like, this is weird, man. This is just not what I was expecting. And of course, I gave it another chance. I'm a huge comic book fan, right?
Yeah.
And then by second episode, it just got so good. And I heard that that the Disney Plus servers crashed because of how many people wanted to watch the season finale of that.
Yeah. It's a slow burn start, and a lot of my friends, like Pete Parada, the drummer from Offspring, and our new backing guitar player Jonah Nimoy, they're super comic book guys, and they said the same thing, like they weren't sure at first, and then they were just fully in. What I love about it, it's the first superhero series that I could watch with my kids, and like my daughter. I come home from like a rehearsal or something. My daughter's like, new WandaVision. Like, you know, she's seven, you know, some of it's a little scary, and it's the first time she's been able to watch like something that intense, you know?
And I think what I like about it is it goes back to when we were little kids where we had to wait till next Friday to see the next Cheers or, you know what I mean? Like,
I know
like it's kind of nostalgic for us. Right.
Yeah. I mean, if we're going to really get, you know, into the metaphors here, it's the same thing with having to wait for a record to come out before you heard it or having to go to the store to buy it. It creates this appreciation and anticipation of art that, I don't know, I just think it's a give it to me now nation, you know, like.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Dead Kennedys were way ahead of their time with give me convenience or give me death, you know.
Yes. Like. big time. Because that was the other part of, you know, growing up as a kid. It wasn't only just waiting for the albums, but it was also, you know, you didn't have internet. And if you wanted to learn about the band, you best be buying Rolling Stone and Spin and Circus and all those other
magazines. Oh, I love looking at Spin back in the day.
Yeah, man. You know, and it was like, you know, I don't know if you got Good Rockin' Tonight where you're from, but it's essentially, you know, MTV or, you know, Much Music kind of thing. But like all of those TV shows too were very like, super influential for a guy that was or a girl that were music fans.
Did you guys have 120 minutes up there?
120
MTV minutes. 120 minutes. It came on at midnight. No. Do you remember that? No.
No.
What was that? Where, like, you know, that was where we first saw, you know, the first Offspring video, the first Faith No More video. That was our, like, you stay up till midnight to see something new and cool in music videos, you know?
Right.
That was,
We had the Good Rockin' Tonight.
And
then the Friday night videos. The Friday night videos was fucking awesome because they would play like everything. Like everything go from Van Halen Jump to like Duran Duran, Hungry Like the Wolf, or you know, it was all over the map, but it was cool.
Yeah, I remember seeing that the first time I saw the Cro-Mags was, I believe it or not, now I'm friends with, you know, John and those guys, but that We Gotta Know video was, I was like, oh my God, these guys are scary.
And it was cool because back, you know, back then, if you had a video, it kind of legitimized your band a little bit.
It did, yeah. Yeah.
It's not the same as today where you're like, yeah, you make a video, yeah, you got a video, whatever. But like back in the fucking 80s was like, what? You have a video that's not only it's good, but it's really good. Yeah.
It's weird, man. I mean, you know, we just shot an Offspring video for the single Let the Bad Times Roll, and you just something. I'm just thinking in my head, like, where does this get shown now? Like,
that's a Offspring YouTube channel kind of thing, right? Like, it's a weird time to be making videos too. Do you go down the rabbit hole of aliens? Like, do you think aliens have visited Earth? Do you think they live among us? Because some people do, man.
I'm not a skeptic of that. I mean, I think it's more arrogant to think that it's not, that they're not around. I mean, you know, creation in life I'm really into, like, you know, where we came from and how we're all connected mentally and all that stuff. I mean, it can't just be us. There's no way, you know? I mean, science stops at a certain point. I don't know if you're into like quantum physics and all that stuff, like, but at some point science stops and they get to this thing called the God particle that they call it or whatever, and they don't know beyond that, you know. So that fascinates me, you know.
Yeah, same.
I think there's got to be, if they're among us. I mean, I've met some people.
I do. I feel the same way. Like, man, you're like just a little something, a little bit off, you know. Yeah, that's crazy. Have you ever had a near-death experience? Like, not where you're floating over your body, but like, holy crap, I could have died there.
There was a time when H2O, let me try to think where this was. We had a show, but we ended a tour in California. And we had a show in Pittsburgh, like two or three. We had to drive all the way across the country to another show, like in 3 days or something. And I mean, this is kind of a long story. I don't want to go too long. But what happened was we were speeding and listening to music. And we didn't realize that a cop had been following us, his lights on, for like a long time. And then it turned into five cops by the time we got pulled over.
Wow.
And then when they were telling us to get out of the van, but the speaker on everything went wrong. The speaker was like, and so Rusty, our guitar player, got out of the, he's like, I can't hear you. And then it was guns drawn. We were in the middle of Wyoming. There was a couple of workers across the way that just ran. So it became no one anywhere. All of us on our knees, surrounded by cops with shotguns to our heads.
Holy shit.
And I think probably that was the one time I was like, anything could happen. No one's going to know about it right now. You know, there's no one around. The only witnesses took off running. And that scared me because, like, maybe they were used to something happening. I don't know, you know?
Wow.
But it was all a misunderstanding. I don't know what it was, but that was probably the closest I came to thinking, oh, this is it, you know?
I get it in here, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Todd, thank you again. Thank you again for doing this with us today. I want to respect your time, man. I've only got one more question, and it's a big one.
Sure. Okay.
Can you nail it down to one career highlight?
I think about this all the time. I mean,
so many moments, probably, right? Like,
yeah. Well, I mean, my go-to, just if I'm just going to say the first one that pops into my head, when I started touring with Juliet in Europe and stuff, like, we really worked. We really were trying to build, and we were in small clubs and then slightly bigger clubs. And somehow Dave Grohl took a liking to the band and ended up playing drums on our second record.
No way.
It's called Four on the Floor.
Okay.
That was a whole career high in itself, because he didn't even hear the songs before he came to the studio. We'd play him the song and he'd go, okay, let's go. and we just rocked it live, and it was incredible.
Wow.
But out of that, he asked us to play with them in Hyde Park in London. And which he thought was going to be 30 to 40,000 people or something. And the lineup was Angels and Airwaves, Juliet and the Licks, Queens of the Stone Age, Motorhead, and Foo Fighters. Wow. And 90,000 people showed up. And that show... And also, Brian May was there, and the drummer from Queen, all standing on the side of the stage when we were playing. You know,
yeah, Lemmy, no pressure.
yeah. I just remember going, "How did I get here?" You know, that was one of the coolest shows I've ever done. And because of that show, we had a little show booked in London, like a month later. That show sold out, and we ended up going up to like a 3,000 seater just because of that show.
Wow.
And from then on out, it was 3,000 seaters, you know? So that was kind of pivotal
rap
band, you know?
Right. And maybe I want to touch on this real quick then, while we're talking about Juliet and the Licks. How different was that being in a band with somebody that was already famous? Do you think that it gave it a leg up on things or beneficially, and also on the other side where it's like, oh, it's that actress chick, like, don't really give her time of day.
That's an easy answer, because we watched it change from one thing to another. It was stalker actress fans at first.
Right.
That's what it was at first. Then the band got good, and then, you know, it started to be music fans. Well, we started getting good reviews in England and Europe, because they should, by all means, be bashing us because it's an actress. You know,
right.
When we started getting good reviews, we were like, okay, we're a band now, you know? Like, when we would meet other bands, they would be into it and want to hang out with us. We were just, because I thought, you know, everyone would be like, fuck this, you know, actor band, you know?
Yeah.
But we saw it change from people just coming to see her to people coming to see the band, and that was a cool thing to watch, you know.
Yeah. Is there ever an album coming out from that band again, or is that completely off the table?
We just performed Saturday night. We just performed two brand new songs, and we're texting right now about going in the studio in a week.
Amazing.
Or two, so,
oh, that's great. Great news.
Yeah.
Wow, man. This cat, like, Todd has no time of day for anything but rock.
I don't.
I love it. That's great. Thank you again, man, for taking the time. You're easy to find on online.
Yeah.
At Todd's Planet on Twitter.
Yep.
And
if you go to my website, toddmorse.com, and you put your email in there, and maybe mention that you heard me on the podcast, I'll send you my solo record for free.
Oh, nice. Oh, great. Yeah. Dude, that's amazing. Thank you so much, man. That's very cool. Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, have a great day, man. We'll see you online. Thanks again.
Okay.
Okay. Bye. Take care, Todd.
The Toddcast Podcast on toddhancock.ca.
Have you ever watched a futuristic sci-fi movie and wondered, but wait, could any of this really happen? And will I live long enough to see it? That's what our show Hypothetical is about. I'm Carrie Bechet, and on this podcast, we ask what-if questions about the future. Like, what if we could read minds? What if the world's digital data was erased all at once? What would happen if the Yellowstone supervolcano erupted? Then we explore that question two ways, through speculative science fiction and through dialogue with brilliant scientists. The result is a genre-bending narrative that's interwoven with real facts provided by literal geniuses. And spoiler alert, a lot of the science fiction out there, it's not nearly as far-fetched as you might think. Come time travel with me into the future on Hypothetical. New episodes on Tuesdays, available on all your favorite podcast apps. Just search Hypothetical. That's HYPERTHETICAL.